Looking to get out of the house during these cold winter months and pick up a new hobby? Well, you should head over to Agogi Combatives. That is going to be the premier mixed martial arts destination here in the Tennessee Valley, as you're going to be learning from the top coaches and athletes in the region. I mean, over there, it is the real deal. Everything from striking to jiu-jitsu, wrestling, it is all there at Agogi Combatives, and you can take your game to the next level, learning from people like Torres Finney, Jazzy the Jazzmanian Devil Sergeant, and so much more. To see the full list of classes and instructors, head over to agogicombatives.com. One more time, that is agogicombatives.com.
Now you're all in big, big trouble. Suspect.
This is how I win.
Oh my goodness, everybody. We are getting so close to the premiere of HBO's The Last of Us, which is an adaptation of the incredible Naughty Dog game that blew everyone away back in 2013. It's been a minute since that game came out, and I'm on Instagram right now. I posted this picture of Pedro Pascal as Joel, and I got a lot of DMs, people not knowing, not believing that it's real. People like, this is actually a thing. My boy Caleb just said, wait, this is real? Yeah, it's real, man. You got to go check out the trailer. It looks incredible. We also have Bella Ramsey. She's going to be playing Ellie. I mean, everything about this trailer, series, everything about it so far, I have extreme confidence in HBO. And I think it was a great decision for them to wait until The Walking Dead was over, quote unquote. I know that there's about 30 billion spinoffs on the way for The Walking Dead, but the main series has come to an end, and the new zombie crown, or fungi crown in the case of The Last of Us, it looks like it's being handed over to the incredible, incredible team that's working behind the show. The guy from Chernobyl is leading it. I just can't wait. I can't wait. And we're about to get a ton of information, so I'll talk a little bit more about it then. But man, I am ready to go for the show, and I am ready to go for this episode of the podcast. It was a wonderful Thanksgiving last week. Some delicious turkey, ham, cranberries of different varieties being consumed, stuffing, which I was reading several polls over the past week to see what people thought was the best Thanksgiving item, and I was shocked by the number of people who picked stuffing, or dressing, as some people like to call it, as number one. I was very surprised. I thought that turkey was a shoo-in for that competition, but it seems like a lot of people have kind of taken a turn on the turkey, beating the man while he's down. A lot of those rankings, those power rankings that you see people doing of all those foods is going way down. The turkey, the ham's on the rise, the mac and cheese also being a little stagnant. Mashed potatoes, of course, I mean, that's like the LeBron James of the Thanksgiving realm, so that's not going anywhere. But while we were gone last week, there's something very interesting happened. Of course, we have the World Cup going on right now, which the United States has advanced out of Group B, beating Iran 1-0 off of incredible Christian Pulisic goal, which he paid the price there on that goal. He got hit very hard in a place that you don't want to be hit at. You can watch the replay there. He had to go to the hospital for that. Hopefully he will be back in the lineup as they will be facing the Netherlands coming up here on Saturday. So very excited. Good to see Team USA get to a good start. Draw against Wales, draw against England, which was an incredible, incredible feat by the United States. Really, really, really wonderful to see that. Man, England, how can you let the United States get a draw? That's basically a loss for the United Kingdom there. You're the one who invented the sport and you're going to lose like that? Oh my goodness. But yes, draw, win, advancing out of Group B. United Kingdom also going to be advancing out of that division. So we will see what happens there. Very excited to see what happens in the World Cup. I'm not sure yet. I was watching it earlier today. Tunisia and France playing. I know Tunisia had an early goal. I believe France may have come back. No, Tunisia, that was the only goal of the game. They take that. But France, they had already advanced at that point. Nothing really being lost on them. So very, very, very excited to see how this World Cup plays out, especially with Team USA being involved. This team, substitution-wise, didn't look great yesterday against Iran. Did not look great. A little worrying there, but I don't know. This team feels a little bit special. I'm not saying that they're going to go all the way and win the entire tournament or anything, but I'd just like to see what happens. I feel like getting to this point already after missing the last World Cup is going to be a big victory. But of course, if you guys are listening to this podcast, it means you probably know a thing or two about MMA, and we had some major news drop last Tuesday regarding UFC 282. This is big here, as that was originally supposed to be the light heavyweight rematch between Jiří Procházka and Glover Teixeira. However, it came out that Jiří Procházka had suffered a serious shoulder injury and had to pull out of the fight. And now the main event, the light heavyweight title, it's vacant, and they're not even doing an interim title situation. It's going to be against the former champion Jan Blachowicz, going to get Magomed Ankalaev, who is a guy who, he's a sleeper in the light heavyweight division. You go back and watch some of those fights that he's had, that man is an absolute monster. He's on a warpath to victory, and I could really see him taking down Jan Blachowicz here. I like Jan a lot. I like what he's done for the light heavyweight division, but man, it just feels pretty interesting because Magomed, man, he can break out the wrestling as well as this incredible kickboxing skill that he has that I'm excited to see play against Jan Blachowicz, who we know is a guy who is a man of many talents. I know he's getting a little bit older in the division, but he is just is incredibly well-rounded fighter. I know we saw him against Israel Adesanya. He dominated that fight when Izzy tried to become the double belt champion with light heavyweight and middleweight, and of course, against Glover, man, that was an absolute war. But let's talk about Glover Teixeira and Jiří Procházka. What was supposed to happen there, of course, Jiří has that serious shoulder injury that he mentioned, and apparently it's so significant that he's going to be out for possibly over a year doing surgery, recovery, and getting back in the fighting shape, that out of respect for the fighters, he decided to vacate the light heavyweight belt entirely, not go through this interim champion mess. He says that it's time for a new champion. He's going to come back and take it when the time is right with that shoulder. So now on to Glover Teixeira. This is where things get a little bit more interesting. So the fight was offered to Glover to go against Magomed Ankalaev. Glover said, I'm absolutely not going to be taking that fight because I've been doing a fight camp for however long to prepare against a battle with Jiří Procházka. He said, Glover said, that he would go against Jan Blachowicz because some of those skills and things they prep for in that fight camp would transfer over to more of a fight with Jan. Dana, the UFC, whoever it was, said, no, it has to be against Magomed Ankalaev or we have to move on to a different fight here. And he said, you know, we can do that. They mentioned a Brazilian fight happening possibly. If they could have postponed that, Glover would have been ready for a little bit more time preparing because that is a very different matchup going from Jiří Procházka to Magomed Ankalaev. I mean, very, very different. So the Brazilian matchup was offered. That was just off the table for the UFC. So they went ahead and just bumped up Jan Blachowicz and Magomed Ankalaev for that fight. But now let's get on to the rest of the card, because this is one of those cards that I feel like people are sleeping on just a little bit here. There's a couple matchups on this that I'm very, very excited about, specifically between Jared Gordon and Paddy Pimblett. Paddy is just a guy who I love to see fight. He's a very exciting lightweight, and Jared Gordon is a dude who, man, I just want to see this guy do something. I really do, because he's a fighter. Anytime I watch him, I do enjoy the fights, but he is going against a guy who has a lot of momentum riding behind him, a massive fan base that is already established and continues to grow, it feels like, every single day with Patty Pimblett. Of course, we also have Darren Till and Robbie Lawler fighting on this card, and the Arkansas Wonder, Bryce Mitchell, fighting on this card, who absolutely is a guy who I really enjoy, man. I remember what he did to Edson Barboza the last time around. He was supposed to have a fight back, I don't even know how long this was ago. I think it was in early November. He was supposed to headline a fight night that was going to be with Masvar Ovalev, so I don't think that ever worked out, but glad to see him here. He has a tough fight ahead of him against Ilya Topuria, so that is a guy who's 12-0 out of Germany, so very, very excited to see if he can take up Bryce Mitchell, stay in that win column. But here's something that's kind of interesting with the UFC. We're having a UFC fight night coming up here on December 10th. That is going to be down in Orlando. This is a crazy card. It's a really, really, really crazy card. I don't know if I would go as far to say that it should be a pay-per-view card, but it's a really stacked one for a quote-unquote free fight night that we're having. And this is going to be, the headline is going to be Stephen Thompson, Kevin Holland. We also have podcast alum and my guy, Brian Barberena. He's going against Rafael Dos Anjos. Man, Brian, he is just going through all of the legends recently, man. He's on the legend tour. And then we also have Matt Schnell and Matthias Nicolau, who that will be very interesting. And then we have Tai Tuivasa and Sergey Pavlovich on this. Man, what is happening? And then you go down to the prelims, and we have Clay Guida and Hot Sauce Holtzey, Scott Holtzman, are fighting each other, man. What the hell is going on this card? This is an absolute insane time. As we also have Michael Johnson fighting on this. He's going against Mark DeCasey, who, what is going on, man? This is, I'm honestly a little bit more excited about this fight night coming up on December 3rd. Excuse me, I think I said December 10th last time around. There's so many fighters who are fan favorites going on here, fighting down in Orlando. Clay Guida, man, Hot Sauce Holtzey, Tai Tuivasa, the Shoey Man, who everybody knows, Brian Barberena, RDA, and then Wonder Boy and Kevin Holland. What is going on? How is this going to be a free fight? I'm so excited to watch this. This is going to be one that, honestly, I think it'll get a bigger viewership than 282 is going to get, man, which is crazy to say because 282 is the last full pay-per-view card of the year. And then we have this fight night with Wonder Boy and Kevin Holland. Well, I know Kevin Holland's not exactly a card seller, but it's still just interesting to see. It's still really interesting to see, and I'm really very excited for that fight card coming up. I'm curious. I mean, that is this Saturday, and then I believe either next Saturday or the following, we're going to have 282, so I definitely want to see those numbers go head-to-head. All right, we're going to take a quick break here, and then when we get back, I'm going to talk about something that I rarely talk about on this show, and that's college football. Oh yeah, it's that time of year where we all get to complain about the college football playoff committee. So we're going to take just a very short break, let you hear about some things we have going on here at ESPN, and we will be right back to talk all about that. Don't miss some of our incredible local programming here on ESPN Chattanooga and ESPN at 95.3. As every weekday from 12 until 2, Greg Larnard has got you covered for your midday sports talk. He hits everything and everything, local, regional, national. It is all going to be there on The Word with G. And then Tuesdays and Thursdays, he is joined by KJ Simpson for the high school review and preview show. Do not miss some of that great content from a local like KJ Simpson, who you know from this podcast if you've been a longtime fan. And of course, we have Press Row every weekday from 3 to 6 with David Pascal and Wells Guthrie. Just like The Word with G, man, they're going to be covering everything and everything. And David Pascal, man, he's like Rain Man when it comes to college football. This dude names everything. He knows everything all the way back to really the dawn of time. He can just shoot it off. He's like Good Will Hunting, you know? He's like Will Hunting, the titular Will Hunting. But yeah, do not miss out any of that programming. You can hear that on your radio all throughout the Tennessee Valley if you tune in to 95.3. But you can get this content anywhere in the world by downloading the ESPN Chattanooga app presented by Ruby Falls, or head on over to ESPNChattanooga.com. Yeah. Also, be sure to check out Agogi Combatives. I talked about them at the beginning, but I want to remind you, with all this MMA talk we've been having on the show, maybe you're feeling inspired, wanting to get out, go to the gym, learn a new hobby. That is going to be Agogi Combatives. There, you can take whatever existing MMA skill you have and pump that to the next level. And even if you're a beginner, there's a full suite of classes that you can learn at Agogi, from Krav Maga, youth wrestling, Ryoma, anything. It was all going to be there at Agogi Combative. Striking, everything. I'm seriously telling you guys, I've been there several times. I've checked out the facility. I've met with the owners and some of the athletes there. You could not ask for a better group of people there at Agogi Combatives. See the full suite of classes and instructors at agogicombatives.com. All right, we are back here on the Watch It podcast. Like I said, about to talk about something I don't usually talk about a whole lot, and that is going to be college football. As I mentioned, it's the time of the year when the playoff committee is doing the things that they like to do, which is radically piss people off. And you'll never find more of a rabid fan base than college football fans, man. That is a different breed. I grew up here down in Tennessee in the South, and the SEC is king down here. It's paramount. And, man, you're there making some people mad right now. So the first four I agree with, and it goes like this. Georgia is number one. That is going to be followed up by Michigan State, who absolutely shellacked Ohio State last Saturday. Then it goes TCU and then USC, which is interesting. USC making their way into the top four. Here's where people get mad. Ohio State drops to number five. Okay, I'm personally not mad about that, but Ohio State fans, very vocal, even though that Michigan, they really took him to the house in that game on Saturday afternoon. They think that having the one loss being to what was previously number three Michigan as what was then number two Ohio State doesn't warrant the drop down to number five when USC comes into that position who had previously lost to Utah. So they're in a little bit of a fascinating position. I get where Ohio State fans are coming from. I get some of the frustration, but it has to do with this representation and this recency bias, I feel like, that the College Football Playoff Committee has. So I understand why they're in that position, but like I said, I also very much understand some of the frustration coming out of those Ohio State fans. And then here's where people get a little bit testy with this whole thing. That is going to be at number six. We have the University of Alabama Crimson Tide coming in right there at number six. Not Tennessee. No. Not Tennessee or LSU. I know LSU got a tough loss to Texas A&M. No, the two teams that Alabama beat this year down lower. And Alabama goes in at number six, which is interesting, because this entirely contradicts the methodology that the playoff committee states that they follow. And here's the big thing that the playoff committee follows. It is going to be quality of wins, number of wins, obviously, they factor into, but it's that quality of wins thing that I want to talk about here, because this is where things get a little bit fascinating. I mentioned that Tennessee is not in the number six position. Where are they, you might ask? Well, they're right down there just below them at number seven, which has some people a little bit frustrated. Because, as you know, the game of the year in college football, easily, so far, I know we have a couple others coming up with bowl season and championships, was Tennessee and Alabama, which Alabama heartbreakingly lost, just as they lost to LSU, just as they almost lost to Texas A&M, just as they almost lost to the University of Texas. Oh my goodness, what is happening down there? They put them all the way up at number six, even though they have two losses here, against teams who are lower. I am by no means a fan of the University of Tennessee Volunteers, but there is no good reason why they should not be ahead of Alabama. They should definitely be ahead. Are you kidding? They took them down. Incredibly, they scored over 50 points on that team. And to put them at number seven? What is going on? I understand a loss against South Carolina was horrific. It was tough. They ran the score up on you. South Carolina ran out of fireworks. Okay. Okay. Yeah, that's unfortunate, but you still beat the University of Alabama. A little confusing to me. That's why I don't really dally too much in college football all that much on this podcast, because I know people take it very seriously. I mean, you can go on the ESPN 95.3, hear the airwaves, what people are saying about these teams. I think it's a little crazy inside of there. But it's going to be a crazy time here moving forward in the bowl season and in championship. I'm so excited to see what happens. Georgia's going to be playing LSU in the SEC championship. I feel like that's going to be an easy W for the Bulldogs. I mean, you can clip that if you want. If they lose, I'm standing by it. So we will see what happens there. Very excited to see how this all plays out. And I'm feeling a little sneaky about the University of Southern California with Lincoln Riley and Caleb Williams, what those guys might be able to do together going into this playoff format. But I think we are out of time here for today on the Watch It Podcast. Since it's the Wednesday edition, I did want to talk about the new Netflix series Wednesday, starring Jenna Ortega as the titular Wednesday Adams. But Haley would have killed me. She's a little busy today. We watched that series together. She absolutely loved it, just like I did. I highly recommend everybody goes out there and watch it, as we're going to be either talking about that on Friday or perhaps next Wednesday. We're going to hit all the bases with that show and so much more. Get the results of that UFC fight night that we have coming up between Wonderboy and Kevin Holland. Brian Barberena also on that card. So excited to see how that all goes down. And Clay Guida, another guy who I like a lot. So we will see how that all plays out coming up on Friday and even next week of the Watch It Podcast.